your non-stop entertainment radio.
Tempest.
Out there, yes, you're tuned into Radio Africana, and this is Morning Dew. What a lovely day! Yes, Lord, take us deeper. Lord, take us deeper. Draw us closer. He says, if we draw close to Him, He will draw us even closer to Himself. So, Father, we thank you for the privilege that is called today. Thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence. We ask that you will draw us closer. We ask, Lord, that you will take us deeper. We ask, Lord, that you will give us that spirit to spirit, heart to heart communication, that we may have our eyes of our understanding enlightened, opened to see what it is you're showing to us, to have ears that hear, and grant us hearts that understand. This is our ask, this is our quest, this is our desire, even this day, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will meet us at the point of that need, and at the end of it, let your name alone be glorified. We just thank you for the privilege that is today. Thank you, Lord, for all our listeners that have tuned in. Thank you for how far you've brought us on the journey, understanding your covenant relationship, even with each and every one of us, as we look into the authority and the power in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we commit today's session unto you. Take total and absolute absolute control. Let your will be done. Let your name alone be glorified. Let the people be blessed for having come to fellowship today. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome to yet another edition of Morning Dew. Right, so just a recap. We started a couple of sessions now, and we're joining with introduction. We're trying to explore the definition of what covenants are in a bid to understand authority and power in the name of Jesus. So we looked at the types of covenants. We talked about condition and unconditional. We tried to grab some terminology as far as covenants were concerned. And we looked at some biblical examples illustrating, you know, so that we could get an understanding of the roles that are played by the different parties involved in a covenant. It is a deep study, but I just wanted us to just glean through that so that we have a grasp and have a great understanding of the main topic, the authority and power in the name of Jesus. So we looked at Exodus chapter 19 verses 1 to 25, a typical covenant between God and the Israelites, and we recognize certain things with all the covenants, that God is always the initiator of biblical covenants. And we see that the Lord initiated this meeting, okay, and there was a purpose for establishing that covenant. Then we moved forward to try and ask a couple of questions. How do we access the covenants? We want to look at that to some degree today, and what qualifies us to, you know, how do we qualify, or what are the prerequisites or qualifications to being in a covenant. And so in an attempt to do that, we also looked at other questions like what are the believer's covenant rights, and that we dealt with extensively last week, where we looked at some of the covenant rights, which include forgiveness and righteousness, health and well-being, you know, provisions and prosperity, protection and peace, authority, a relationship with God, and eternal life. So it was good to bring in the covenants, and then when we start looking at some of the rights, then we can begin to see how we begin to come into our main subject matter. Part of your covenant rights is that you have authority to use the name of Jesus in that covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. And you know, we have been given other provisions as our covenant rights. So today we want to look at another of the main covenants, and just to give us some more clarity. And so we're going to be looking at the Davidic covenant. Okay, so we had looked at a covenant with Noah. We had looked at a covenant with Abraham. We spent some time extensively with the covenant with Moses and the Israelites. And today we want to look at the covenant with David, and just a kind of, you know, give us some more dimensions to what we already know about covenants. Now, God's people entered Canaan, the promised land, and eventually they demanded for a king. Okay, stoking their desire to be like other nations. So, you know, just typical human nature. So God has taken them through, you know, the challenges they were facing in the land of Egypt. He brought them through all of that. He took them through the wilderness. He tried to have conversations with them, tried to establish a covenant. Now they are at the point of their journey where the people have entered into the promised land, and they, you know, stoking their own desires and egos, okay, wanted to be like other nations. Anybody understand that in our world today, which things are trending, want to be like everybody, want to be like the Joneses? Already we have seen that people lose sight of their covenant at Mount Sinai. I'll take that again. Already we are seeing the people, you know, kind of lost sight of their covenant at Mount Sinai, which we looked at extensively in Exodus chapter 19. You know, and Saul is anointed as Israel's king, but he fails to obey God and is rejected. God then chooses David as king over Israel. You know, most of you are familiar with the story of King Saul and King David, particularly when it comes to the issue of obedience, you know, delayed obedience and not obeying at all, you know, and it's so important. That's why we look at the covenants, you know, and the terminology. So sometimes we're at the other end expecting a lot from the Lord, but have we met the prerequisites? Have we kept our own part of what is expected in that covenant relationship? You know, so here we see that the king fails to obey God and is rejected, and then God chooses King David over Israel. So David becomes a successful leader to a great degree, overcoming Israel's enemies and restoring order. And he wants to build a temple for God to dwell you know, with his people again. So God responds to his desire by making a covenant with David, promising to make his name great and raise up, okay, a descendant for David's line. So that was what his promises. We're going to look at this in some extent here. Whose throne and kingdom will last forever. So that was what the Lord proclaimed to him. Now we see a documentation of this in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And then we'll have a look at a couple of verses. It's quite a long chapter, but I'll just take a couple of verses. Now I'm reading from verse 1. So 2 Samuel chapter 7. It says, after the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent. And Nathan replied to the king, whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. Now it's very important here, you know, the relationship between King David and Nathan, you know, a prophet. And this is something which you begin to see, you know, when a lot of the Old Testament leaders were having relationship with God. You know, there was a very, you know, a clear divide between those that understand the protocol. They understood how to come before the Lord, and particularly the office of the prophet. And you will see that a lot of times when the kings had prophets and they obeyed, then he granted them favor with God. And the things that happened when they never took the instructions or directions of the prophets, you know. So here we see David and Nathan the prophet, okay, and he is saying in his own place, Lord, you've given me a place of rest, you know, from all his enemies. And Nathan said, he says, here I am, living in a house of cedar, while the ark of the Lord remains in a tent. So Nathan replied to him, to the king. So there's a good relationship between both of them. Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? Is a question. I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling, wherein I have moved with all the Israelites. Did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? So there's a conversation going on between the Lord and King David. And then tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I told you from the pasture, from the tending of the flock, and appointed you. I took you from the pasture, from the tending of the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. I will provide a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning. And I have done over ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. Now this is 2 Samuel chapter 7, and I've just read from verses 1 to 11. Okay, let's move on a little bit. So you can see contained in those verses is God's promise, all right, to the Israelites. And the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and your rest with your ancestors. I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with flogging inflicted by human hands. But my love will never be taken away from him as long as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we see here, you know, that there is a very interesting discussion or response to David's desire to build the temple, and a specific response back from the Lord, you know, in regard to that matter, you know. And so it's important we see here that this is where the Davidic covenant was established. So it came from a desire on David's part to want to do something concerning the house of the Lord, and the Lord responding through the prophet Nathan to David's desire, specifically telling him what he will do and establishing a covenant by so doing. You know, it's very interesting. So this is one of the very clear component parts, you know, about this covenant that the Lord had with David. And it's clear, and you can read the rest of 2 Samuel chapter 7. It's a big chapter, and then you'll see more details about it. But I just wanted to establish that, just like we talked about the covenant of Noah, God had with Noah, with Abraham, and then Moses, as we looked in Exodus chapter 19, and now we're looking in 2 Samuel chapter 7 to see the covenant that he established with David. Now there's more proof of this in some other scriptures. We'll just see how much we can take within the scope of our timing for the program today, you know. And so a couple of other psalms document this relationship. You know, sometimes when we hear about David was a man after God's heart, he really got close to God. He did desire to seek the Lord. He did want to do great things for the Lord. He wanted to make sure whatever he did in his own reign was pleasing to the Lord. Okay, so next we have Psalm 72, and I'll read from verses 1 to 13. So that's Psalm 72. So just some of the writings, the Psalms, Davidic Psalms. And then we also have Psalm 89. And I'll try and look at verses 1 to 7. We'll see how much of that we can squeeze in the course of our session today. Right. So like I did say, we want to look in more details into the relationship that David had with the Lord and the establishing of his covenant. So Psalm 72, reading from verses 1 to 13, it says, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge the people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressors. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure. Throughout all generations he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace, as long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from river unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy when he cried, and the poor also, and him that had no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. So you can see more and more from the writings of, you know, King David that are documented in the Psalms, he really had a close proximity and relationship, you know, with the Lord. So I just read Psalms 72 and I've just read 13 verses. Again, that's another extensive psalm, but these are just showing the relationship, okay, that David had with the Lord, and the promises that God made, you know, to David concerning, you know, his desire to build a house for him. And God promised that he will do that, but not David himself, but through his son. And that he also promised him that he will do a great work through his lineage. So it's very important to understand the covenant. So this is a discussion, you know, a dialogue that started with a desire in the heart of David, and then the prophet Nathan, you know, conveying a message as a response to his desire that the Lord sent to King David. And then we can look in the Psalms at that relationship as that built up over time, you know. Again, we also have a couple other Psalms that I mentioned. Another one I want us to look at too, but I think we'll take a break and then we'll come back and then have a look at, see how much we can take in Psalm 89, looking at verses 1 to 7. So remember, we're looking at authority and power in the name of Jesus, and we wanted to just, you know, continue in the background of understanding covenants, the agreements, the types of covenants, the relationship God had with his people. And it's important to emphasize here, this initiative was God led. Okay, so it was God's initiative, God's desire, just like David had a desire to build a tabernacle for the Lord. It was God's desire to have a relationship with his people. And so that relationship is progressing, and we see where it's got to with David. But I want us to understand, it's God's initiative to establish relationship, a covenant relationship with his people. And so we're going to look more into this just after the break, and then we'll see how far we can take our study today. And then we'll try and round up with understanding what are the qualifications, you know, how do we qualify to enter a covenant relationship. I'll see you on the other side of the break.
And conquers all, and then worship the Lord. Name above every name. King of kings. Lion of Judah.
Come on, say Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Good morning. If you're just joining us, you're welcome back. We just had a break. You're tuned into Radio Africana. This is Morning Dew. And our topic in today's session, we're looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus. We had a recap of our last session, and then we've broken into one of the covenants we've been studying. And this one is the Davidic covenant. So we looked at the covenant that the Lord established with David as a king that he was pleased with. Of course, he had Saul before him who was rejected by the Lord. And so there's a lot we can learn from the relationship the Lord, from a covenant perspective, has had with King David. And we see that in his writings. We looked at the establishment of that covenant in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we read from verses 1 to 16. It would be good to read that more extensively and get a good understanding there. But primarily within that, the Lord established his covenant, what he wanted to establish through King David, and there were some promises in there. So the terms of the covenant were there. He says, I have been with you wherever you have gone. I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great. So this is where he starts making the promises. I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth. And I'm reading 2 Samuel 7 and from verse 9. Okay. And I will make your name great with the names of the greatest men on earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did in the beginning. I have done and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. You know, so there are some real details, some of the promises he made, in that to Israel. And the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you when your days are over and your rest with your ancestors. All right, I will raise up your offspring, very important, to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom, and he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. Okay, so we see a very clear, response to King David's desire, a very clear detail of what the Lord was going to do in terms of establishing that covenant relationship. And then we see that building up in the writings of King David himself. We'll see if we can look at a couple more of the Psalms. I wanted to look at Psalm 89 from 1 to 17. And then a couple other Psalms, but I'm not sure how much you can squeeze in. I still want to catch something. But let's just look at Psalm 89, a couple of verses in there. It says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Okay? Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build upon thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be heard in reverence of all them that are about, him. All right, so it goes on. Just 1 to 8 I've read there, but it goes on really deeper in it. But you can see, like I said, the relationship. So there's a lot we can glean. I just thought to bring out those important salient points, and I can come back and see if we can read some more. But I want to just go on to establish, some answers to our key question here about how we can establish a covenant relationship. So David and his descendants must remain faithful to God, okay, following covenantal laws. However, despite David and his son's failures, God keeps his promises to provide a faithful descendant of David to reign. Now, this is us understanding God's initial initiative to establish a relationship, to enter into covenant with his people, starting with Noah, then Abraham, down to Moses, and then we're now looking at King David. And despite what's one of the things I said at the beginning, the frailty of men, the shortfallings of men, the fallen nature of men, you know, God has still, you know, determined that he will be faithful to his covenant promise through all of these generations. Now, all of these covenants are a build up on one another, if you will really study. And after God's covenant with David, you know, those of us who are readers now, looking back in a benefit of hindsight, Bible says these things are written for our learning. We are left waiting for the great deliverer, the Messiah from David's line, who will make right the fractured relationship that began all the way in the garden. So now you can understand why I had to bring this background, this basic foundational understanding of covenants. So for generations, Israel ignored the terms of their covenant with Yahweh, breaking commands, living by their own definitions of good and evil, amidst rebellion and exile. The Hebrew prophet spoke of a new covenant, saying that God would one day fulfill all of his promises, repairing his relationship with the people and blessing the nations through the covenants. All right, so this is why when we understand this background, you know, then we can see how we've come on this journey, you know. And there's a lot, really. I think this is Jeremiah 31, and I want to read verses 31 to 34. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Behold, those days will come." This is prophesied from prophet Jeremiah. "Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." So we can see where all of this is coming from, right? So their covenants he had with their fathers, but he's saying, "Behold, the days come, and the Lord will make a new covenant." So by back from prophet Isaiah, he spoke about the coming and the establishing of a new covenant in spite of the covenant that had been established with their fathers. Okay, and he goes on to say, "Which covenants they broke, although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord." Verse 33 says, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." So we see the culmination, this relationship, one covenant, you know, relationship, agreement with one set of people, the forefathers of the faith, from, you know, Noah, Abraham, Moses, coming down to King David. And Jeremiah is saying a day will come when there's going to be the establishment of a new covenant, right? So this covenant will be everlasting. God will write his law on their hearts. That's what he says in this prophetic word, bringing complete forgiveness of sins and raising up a faithful king for the line of David, from the line of David, as promised in the covenant with David, who will restore all that has been broken. So anticipation of this covenant pushes the story forward into the pages of the New Testament, okay, where we are now introduced to the personality of Jesus. All right, so now we can see, notice how the covenants progressively build up one upon another, forming a complete redemptive storyline. God preserved the world through Noah, initiated redemption through Abraham, established the nation of Israel through Moses, promised an eternal shepherd king through David, and then fulfilled all of his covenants through Jesus. Awesome. With each covenant, God promises and God's promises and plans to save the world through the seed of the woman became clearer and clearer, until we finally see the redemption come only through King Jesus. Okay, so now, you know, some of us now, we are the new kids on the block, basically. And we've come into this covenant relationship that God has always had with humanity. And so Jesus is the covenantal climax. The New Testament author presents Jesus as the offspring of Abraham, okay, who trusted Yahweh even to the point of death, and he became a blessing to all the nations. He is the greater Moses, leading us out of bondage. He is the obedient Israelite who perfectly follows the laws of God. He is the royal son of David, who inaugurated God's kingdom in his life, death, and resurrection, and who now sits at God's right hand forever, reigning as one true king. So Jesus perfectly succeeded at every point where humanity has failed. Wow. He is the guarantor and the mediator of the new and the better covenant. Okay, now we can see this documented in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. It says, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. All right, we also have another reinforcement in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15. It says, and for these scores, he is, that's Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, okay, which they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So that's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, right? So now people from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue who trust Jesus can become part of God's covenant family. Amen. So, trying to answer our question, who or what qualifies us to come into this covenant relationship with Jesus? Everyone that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Everyone who accepts God's redemptive plan that he sent his Son, who has been promised through the prophets, through the different covenants, to come, the seed of a woman, okay, the one who was going to bridge the gap. In this new covenant, we receive the forgiveness of sins and God's empowering spirit to help us live full and self-giving love. May the Lord help us to understand this in Jesus' name. So everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, whether they are aware of it or not, has come into a covenant relationship. And so this study has helped us to look at the terminology, the background, the genesis, the journey, the different generations to which God had wanted to establish a covenant relationship, and how it all climaxed in the new and better covenant established by Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can live righteously and partner with him as he renews the entire world. Praise the Lord. I hope that really answers our question. Who is it that can, you know, partner in this new covenant? How do we establish? Just by accepting that that's God's redemptive plan, by accepting that his son fulfilled all the requirements of God's justice, you know, he fulfilled all the shortfallings of all those that were in covenant with God before now. It's a great redemptive, you know, job that Christ has done. He met all the requirements. There is no other sacrifice that has been made, presented to God, that fulfills all the requirements, you know, of the things that God's justice requires. And so, understanding that background, understanding why he came, understanding the purpose for the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus, and because he lives, everyone that accepts him is redeemed, is adopted, is and what's the word now, adopted into the family of God. Everyone that comes in, accepts him as their Lord and Savior, can be enrolled, can be adopted, can be, you know, become a covenant child of God. That's all it takes, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But you can see the background of that covenant relationship, of the promises he has given, you know, from all of time. And so when we start beginning to look, which will go detail in the name, the authority and power in the name, then you need to understand what the Lord has, you know, taking delivery of by the victory that he won at the cross. And that becomes, like we mentioned last week, one of our covenant rights. And so we cannot afford to be ignorant of the devices of the devil. We cannot afford to be ignorant of our covenant rights, and that we have authority, we've been given dominion, and that the all power is with God. And so we'll be looking in more detail at authority that we have, you know, received as a gift, and the fact that all power belongs to God, and then how we can now, in the name of Jesus, that delegated authority given to us and the connection and relationship, draw upon the power of the one that has all power, and how we can enforce dominion on this side of eternity. We'll look at that in more detail in our subsequent editions. So, lovely people, I did say we'll try and look back at one or two of the Psalms. Yeah, there's one more to go. I read to you 2 Samuel 7, 1 to 16. We looked at Psalm 72 from 1 to 13. And I also mentioned Psalm 89 and verses 1 to 7. Now, one more Psalm. I'll just use that for our closing today, right? Just help throw some more light on what it is we've been looking at here and why it's important. And that's Psalm 137, Psalm 130, I beg your pardon, 132 from verses 1 to 18. Psalm 132 from verses 1 to 18. Lord, remember David. I'm reading from verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord, an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thy anointed. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon the throne. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimonies that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon my throne forevermore. For the Lord had chosen Zion. He had desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. There will I dwell. Okay, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless their provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe their priests with salvation, and their saints shall shout aloud with joy. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have obtained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon him shall his crown flourish. Praise the Lord. So again, that's another psalm that really opens us up into what has been contained in the Davidic, covenant. And everyone who is a beneficiary of that covenant, we can go in and look at our covenant rights. We can look more into our inheritance. We can look at the terms of the covenant if we would obey what is being taught. So that's why we've taken so much time to really create this background, so that we can understand when we talk about the authority and the power in the name of Jesus, and why it's through a covenant relationship, and it's one of our covenant rights. So lovely people, I hope that has been a blessing to you today. It really has been a long session to come into this point, but like I mentioned last week, we've got covenant rights. We've got covenant rights. We've got inheritance in Christ Jesus, there's a lot under our covenant rights. We just touched a few of them, talking about forgiveness and righteousness. So we have forgiveness of sins. We're free from guilt and sin and condemnation. I remember mentioning last week, there is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Maybe if we find some time, we can look in more details at some of these covenant rights. But I just wanted us to really have a background of the initiative that the Lord made himself in trying to communicate with humanity from one generation to another through the different fathers of faith, and how we arrived at Jesus, the ultimate, the new covenant, the superior covenant, and that everyone that, plugs in, everyone that, receives Jesus as their Lord and Savior, accepts God's redemptive plan, qualify, to become covenant children of the Most High. So we've answered that question. What are the prerequisites? You just have to believe, and you have to believe in God's redemptive plan, that he sent his only begotten Son, John 3:16, or whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but they will have eternal life. That's the message of the gospel, that God sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And, Jeremiah reminds us, no man needs to teach anyone, because the Spirit of God will guide us and will teach us all things. So, Father, we just thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for the covenant privilege. Thank you for our covenant rights. Thank you for teaching us and showing us. Thank you so much for the presence of your Spirit, the one that helps to establish, to teach us, to guide us, to bring to remembrance our own parts, and our benefits. And there's so much we can research, we can glean, about the covenant that we have with Jesus. The Lord grant us help, the Lord strengthen us, and the Lord provide for each and every one of you insight, revelation, and take you deeper in him, deeper in the understanding of this covenant relationship we have with him, in Jesus' name. Lovely people, till we meet again, same time, on the same channel. I hope you've really enjoyed today's session. We've tried to answer some of our questions, starting from the definition, what's a covenant. Then we went down to the types of covenant. Then we looked at the terms of covenants, so that we understand our own part in the covenant. There's a lot. So if you didn't catch up with us from the beginning, you feel free to go back into the archives, go back into the series that recorded on this name and the authority and power in the name of Jesus, and see the build up that we've had through this, you know, past few sessions. There's a lot to glean there, so that by the time we finally get to understanding that we have authority and we have access to delegated power, then we should know that by the covenant promise of God to be with us, never leave us or forsake us, to be the head and not be the tail, everything is promised. God is willing to stand behind his covenant promises and covenant declarations. So the question is there a man, is there a woman out there that dares to believe, to stand upon the word of God? God will do his part. He's a covenant keeping God. He's not a man that should lie, you know. And all power, Jesus said, in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. Awesome. We share in that authority and power, and that's incredible. So hopefully next session we'll go in deeper to really have some grounding, understanding in the weapons available to us, this authority, this power, how to use it, and the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Lovely people, I hope that's been a blessing to you today. Till we meet again, same time on the same channel. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and bye for now.
Stronger in the presence of my Savior. stupid.